Welcome back to Cargumentative. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times and Times Live Motoring. And as usual, I'm joined in the hot seats this week by Dennis Dropper from Business Day and Motor News and young Brenwyn Naidu from Sowetan Motoring and also Sunday Times. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
All good. Thank you, Thomas. Can't complain. A little bit cold, but the heater is on doing its thing, so I should be fine.
Yeah, all good this side. Thank you, Thomas. Also trying to battle my way through winter in what I think is the coldest house on the East Rand.
Yeah, it doesn't sound ideal, I must say. Hope you got your heaters on. I hope you have a fireplace as well. That would definitely help take the edge off the cold wintry bite. It's that time of the show where we discuss news and what's been happening in the motoring world. And Dennis, let's kick it off with you. What's been happening?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people will be excited that the Formula One season finally got underway in Austria this past weekend. But if you were a Ferrari fan, you wouldn't necessarily have been doing cartwheels in the hallways, because it looks like Ferrari is way off the pace, and it looks like it might be another Mercedes-Benz whitewash this season. Even though Charles Leclerc finished second on Sunday, it was largely due to a lot of retirements during the race. So in terms of outright pace, Ferrari is over a second behind. But they are apparently bringing some upgrades to round two of the season, which once again is happening in Austria. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know whether you guys had a chance to watch the race.
I did, actually. I tuned in. It was pretty exciting towards the end. I must say, no real surprises to see Mercedes dominating. But it was good to see Bottas out in front. He basically led from Saturday. You know, he cleaned up in qualifying, led from lap one, and just managed to keep that position until the end. But it was interesting to see the performance of Racing Point. I always prefer the underdog teams, the smaller teams with less budget. And I was very surprised by Sergio Perez and Lance Stroll. They look really strong in qualifying and practice, a little bit off in race pace, but it was really promising, you know. So hopefully they'll find some more form as the season goes on and be mixing it up with McLaren. Speaking of McLaren, it was good to see Lando Norris claim his first podium in Formula One. I think it's richly deserved. He's a great driver, lots of talent, and he seems like a nice guy as well. You know, doesn't seem to have a massive ego, unlike some other drivers in the F1 paddock. Brenwyn.
Yes, Thomas, thank you. Well, moving away from the glamour of F1 and rolling up our sleeves, because we're going to talk about business. And I've got some good news if you're planning to unleash your entrepreneurial spirit and you need the right vehicular companion, because last week Kia released a panel van version of its Picanto. And I know what you're thinking. A tiny A-segment hatchback doesn't really seem like a really good starting point for a commercial vehicle. But we must remember that this is something that many other manufacturers have done before. So in the rear compartment, instead of a seating bench, you'll find a flat floor and a net partition. And Kia says you can haul around 350 kilograms of stuff, and maximum luggage or haulage space rather is rated at 820 liters, which is quite substantial. It is based on the 1 liter start model, which employs a 3-cylinder petrol engine with a 1 liter displacement, good for 49 kilowatts and 95 meters. And that's paired to a 5-speed manual. A standard kit includes air conditioning, dual front airbags, anti-lock brakes, Bluetooth and steering controls. And it costs 198,995 rand. And Thomas, I think this could be a good choice for you carting around your band equipment when the gigs start again.
Well, Brenwyn, I was thinking exactly the same thing. You know, it's it would be perfect for somebody like me. You know, it's good for carrying as you said, musical equipment such as drums. It's also good for carrying racing stuff like spare tires and tools and all that kind of jazz. Paige would think it's creepy, and maybe it is to some kind of extent. I saw that come out last week and I was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. I mean, I remember back in the day we had panel van versions of the Toyota Taz. We had the Toyota Taz Carry. I think there was an Opel Corsa version as well. So they were quite popular, and then they sort of dried up for quite some time. So it's nice to see these little, panel van versions of accessible hatchbacks coming out. I mean, the pricing for me is a little bit pricey. You're getting less compared to the standard car. So, I mean, I was hoping it would be a little bit cheaper than, the 190 mark, but I guess that's just a sign of the times.
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, 200,000 Rand is maybe now in 2020 the new 100,000 Rand. So, I think it's all relative.
Yeah, true. Dennis, anything else newsworthy that you feel that you should step in on?
Since we were talking about well-priced little panel vans, I thought I'd go to the other end of the scale and announce the price of what is going to be South Africa's most expensive car to date, and that is the Ferrari SF90 Strada. Now, our correspondent, Michael Taylor, has just attended the world launch and driven the vehicle, and it's been announced that the car will be selling for the princely sum of 10.5 million Rand when it arrives in South Africa. But for that, you are getting a 736 kilowatt petrol electric hybrid sports car, which accelerates from 0 to 100 in about 2.5 seconds and hits a top speed of 340 kilometers an hour. Perhaps even more impressively, it gets from 0 to 200 in just 6.7 seconds. So, anybody is a real big Ferrari fan, start scraping the pennies together for that 10.5 million Rand price tag.
Yeah, it's an outrageous sum of money to pay. But I guess if you are a fan and you've got the financial clout behind your name, then, you may well make it happen. That's all about time we've got for news, guys. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the show shortly.
Join me, Nicole Engelbrecht, your host on True Crime South Africa, a weekly podcast that covers both solved and unsolved South African true crime cases.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Guys, the best and worst places you've ever driven a car. We've all been around the world for years now, attending car launches and driving exotic things in exotic locations. And I assume you've both got, your worst and best places to drive cars. Brenman, let's start off with you.
Yes, thanks. Well, gentlemen, I'm sure at some point in our motoring careers, we've all been to the United Arab Emirates, Dubai in particular, with its sandy expanses and really straight roads. And I'm pretty sure you guys would have noticed as well that driving there, especially if you're in a car that's perhaps a bit more compact, i.e. anything smaller than a Nissan Patrol would be compact in Dubai, you feel quite vulnerable. And that's got a lot to do with how aggressive and, I want to use the word, mean the drivers are there in Dubai. Like, I just feel like if you're driving on the freeway, especially, oh my goodness, you just get pushed, and it's really uncomfortable. I don't like driving in Dubai. In fact, it reminds me a lot of Johannesburg drivers. They are quite aggressive, and everyone's in a hurry, and people can be quite frankly inconsiderate, and that leads me to my next thing, that whole point of being inconsiderate a lot of people these days text and drive, which really makes my blood boil when I see that. You'll be driving on the freeway in the middle lane. Person in front of you is probably doing like 60 or 70. And you see the reason why when you overtake them. They are on their phones doing something. And I think if you text and drive, then you are a proper eggplant emoji. Now, on the other side of things, that the nicest place I've driven, and this might sound a little cliched, has got to be Sweden. The respect that those motorists have for speed limits and for each other is just really fantastic. People didn't, if the road sign says do 60 in Sweden, people will be doing 50, 55. You will not see anyone exceeding the speed limit. And I think if we all adopted that kind of habit and inculcated a culture like that on our roads in SA, we'd have certainly a death toll that's far less severe than it is now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Dennis, do you also have bad experiences in the UAE?
I must say I haven't had that particular experience in the UAE, but for me, some of the most exotic places I've driven, and when I say exotic, it means downright scary, it's probably been India, where I drove in New Delhi and in Jaipur, where people routinely turn marked three lanes into five lanes. So everybody kind of drives all over the place, and there's nominally sort of five lanes happening. No one checks their mirrors. Everybody's continuously on their hooters because nobody indicates. So the only way that people know that you're there is if you're continuously hooting. So we went there on the launch of the Ford Figo a few years ago, and we were sort of just ambling in a lane, minding our own business, and a bus came past us and knocked off our mirrors. So we thought that was quite rude, but he just continued as if nothing had happened. Then we saw that just about none of the cars on the roads had mirrors. So that was just par for the course, and that's why everybody's always on their hooter. And then we came upon animals in the road, like elephants and cows. So all the things you saw, the stereotypes in the postcards, you know, that's all true. And we had to wait for the elephant to sort of move out of our way before we could continue the drive. In direct contrast to that, so the best roads I've driven in the world has probably been Italy. And I know this will come to a big surprise to a lot of you, because Italians are kind of stereotyped as being kind of very, very brusque drivers, let's put it that way. But I found that they were actually very well behaved. They all sort of, they when they were driving slowly, they stayed in the slow lane, and they overtook in the fast lane and then went back into the slow lane.
Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, I've never been to India before. I've been invited a few times, but turned it down because I've got a bit of a sensitive constitution. So I'd probably spend most of my time in the restroom as opposed to behind the wheel of a car. But anyway, that sounds like a nightmare. Never been to Italy, although I must say, for me, the best driving roads would probably be the south of France. And we went down there once for, I think it was the launch of the previous generation Porsche Cayman. And we got to drive along some of the mountain passes there, which were once used in the Monte Carlo Rally. And that was just phenomenal. No cars, nice and quiet. You could use both sides of the road. Not that we were supposed to, but, you know, due to the lack of traffic and due to the cars ahead of us kind of, you know, making sure that the roads were clear, we could. So from that point of view, it was a great place to drive. And also Germany. Dennis, you mentioned people just, you know, being conscious of others and, you know, thinking ahead. If you've ever driven on the German Autobahn, that's something that you experience. People don't hog lanes. If you want to go fast, you can go fast. You just get over into the far left-hand lane and you can send it. And then if somebody's coming up behind you at a faster speed, you just move over to the right-hand lane, let them pass, move back in. And it all works incredibly well. You know, people always go on about the fact that speed kills. But if you've ever been to Germany and you've spent time on the Autobahn like we have, you'll see that that's not the case. And it's more about being aware and, you know, just sticking to the rules and knowing how the rules work. And if that happens, you know, you can have a really streamlined and unfussed driving experience, even at high speeds. Scary places to drive for me would be Bahrain. And that was because the traffic rules there are so incredibly strict. And they've got fines for everything. You know, if you stop like 1 millimeter in front of an intersection line, you get fined. If you go too fast, you get fined. If you do this, you get fined. And they've got cameras everywhere. And I can remember, Dennis, you sent me to go and cover, I think it was Porsche Panamera Sport Turismo GTS in Bahrain. And we had to do some road driving. And I was absolutely terrified because before we set out from our hotel to go and do the road driving section, we were presented with this long document with all the prices of all the various fines. And they ranged from like 100 Bahraini dinar, which is probably about, the current exchange rate is 45 Rand buys you one dinar. So, you know, we're talking big bucks. And some of them would go up to 1,000. So it was a chance. You had the chance to potentially bankrupt yourself forever by just, you know, messing up and getting a few fines in. So I've never been more paranoid about driving out on the streets than I have in Bahrain. And every time there's a launch invite there, you know, I hope it's only going to be on the track and not around the streets. Moving on from this section, we can also talk about pet peeves. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be overseas, but closer to home. What else annoys you guys, and what else would you like to see changed?
Yeah, well, Tom, as I mentioned, for me, the whole texting and driving thing is shocking, really. I mean, on any given day, you'll notice there are many people out there who are operating a smartphone while piloting a vehicle. It's shocking, and there should really be just a better, maybe a more visible presence of enforcement. And maybe, you know, we need to roll out some cameras like how they do in Bahrain and just monitor these things and automatically fine people. I know it's probably a tall ask, given how rudimentary some of our other infrastructure is, unfortunately, but, you know, one lives in hope. Another pet peeve I have, and it's not really related to driving per se, but loud music in residential areas, that should be banned. Because, like, there's this guy in my complex, for example, drives an Audi A5 Sportback, nice car, seems like a nice fellow, but every time at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, pulls in, blasting his music, like, while I'm, you know, trying to bake or study or, you know, write another listicle or something, and just it throws me off. So I think, you know, there should be like noise pollution laws.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, if I was the president, I would ban all aftermarket car sound systems and especially subwoofers. I think subwoofers should be banned, and you should be fined on the spot if a policeman stops you and opens your boot and fines one. I think they just don't have any place in a civilized society. I think the police need a more proactive approach. You know, they like to sit behind speed cameras eating Nando's and enjoying the fruits of their bribe money, where they could be out, you know, looking for people breaking the law by texting and you know, doing other things like that. I mean, I've even seen people in the morning traffic with a magazine propped up on their steering wheel, and you know, they'll kind of read the magazine, drive a little bit forward, read the magazine, and it's unbelievable. You know, it was like being in candid camera, because you don't actually believe that this could be happening, and it is for real. Dennis, going to pass the baton on to you. Anything to add?
So I'm surprised to hear a drummer in a rock band complaining about noise, but maybe that's a conversation for another day. But My pet peeve, as I mentioned earlier, was the keep left, pass right thing. If everybody did that and just practiced some common courtesy using the indicators, etc., it would just lead to a lot less road rage. And in defense of my experience in India, I have to say that even though they had those very colorful driving practices, there wasn't any road rage. You didn't see people stopping, getting out of their car, gesticulating wildly at each other, drawing weapons. Everybody understood that this is the way you drove there, and everyone just got on with the business and did it. You know, so it looks very violent, if I can say that, but it wasn't. You know? Everyone kind of just got on with things and smiled and waved and continued.
It's very interesting. I suppose if you're all taking part in it, then there's, you know, you can't lose your temper if you're complacent, maybe. I don't know. Listeners out there, if you've got any pet peeves, any great places you've driven, any horrible places you've driven, let us know. We're going to have a quick break and we'll be back with you shortly.
Would I buy a Haval?
But you see, like, you can't beat the diesel.
I'll take the petrol over the diesel any day.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. It's our final segment of the show, and that means we're going to be chatting about what we've been driving and what we're looking forward to in the very near future. And Dennis, let's kick things off with you.
We had some excitement coming our way last week when we received for road testing two of the latest hot hatches to arrive in South Africa, that being the Renault Megane RS 300 Trophy and the Hyundai i30N. And we took them to Gerotech and put them through their paces, put them against the V-Box to see how they went. And it was a very interesting exercise. The road test, the shootout, is appearing in this Thursday's Motor News in Business Day. But I can give you a sneak preview in that these are two relatively different animals. The Renault Megane is really the wild child of the duo. I mean, it's an uncompromising track car. It's a very, very firm suspension. It's got a lot of torque steer. It's got more power going through the front wheels. And you just feel like the thing is like trying to buck you off like a rodeo horse, and that you kind of have to hang on. So you need a bit more driving skill to handle that one. Whereas the Hyundai i30N is not as quick, but it's still quick enough to be exciting. But it's just, I think it gives you more of a guiding hand, and it's a bit more forgiving to drive, more of an everyday hot hatch. It's also about 100,000 Rand cheaper. So, you know, those are the two sides of the scale. Also, the Hyundai is generally available, whereas the Megane RS 300 Trophy, only seven of them are coming to South Africa. So if anybody's interested in paying 775,000 Rand for Renault Megane, and then you'd better hurry.
Yeah, I just don't understand the pricing on that car. You know, it doesn't seem to have that much more over the RS 280, which you drove earlier, I think it was earlier this year or towards the end of last year. I also drove it. I wasn't really blown away by that car. You know, it's got a price tag that's very nearly 800,000 Rand. It just seems like a lot of money to pay for a front-wheel drive hot hatch, which is why I'd probably be more inclined to go for the Hyundai. Also like the fact that it is a Hyundai, and you know, it's an interesting alternative to the Megane and the Golf GTI, which have long been the default go-to kids in this segment of the market. So I'm very interested to read that as Dennis said, it'll be appearing in the pages of Business Day Motor News, which comes out in Business Day on Thursday. And of course, it'll also be up on Times Live Motoring. So, you know, if you're keen to find out more, you can log in on Thursday and it'll be there. Brenwen Naidu, what's been happening? What have you been driving?
Yes, well, you know, I've been trying to put a little more mileage on that little Polo GTI that I'm custodian of until April next year. And big thanks to Dennis for inviting me along to that Geotech showdown with my Polo for a very separate exercise. We strapped the V-Box equipment to the little car and to try and see what kind of times we could extract from it. And you know that a Polo GTI is a quick car, but we were quite surprised how quick quickly it performed down the main straight at Geotech. And that story will be out in Sowetan Motoring a bit later this month, and of course on Times Live. And also I write about what was causing the squeaks that I've been complaining about so much. So look out for that. And things I'm working on, well, I'll be compiling yet another one of our famous listicles, this time on premium, the best-selling premium used hatchbacks in South Africa. So your Audi 3, BMW 1 Series, Mercedes-Benz A-Class, and left-field contenders like the Lexus CT and Volvo V40. So look out for that as well. This week, I'll be getting some time in the BMW 2 Series Grand Coupe, very controversial car with its rather unique styling. And it'll be in the 220D derivative. I'm a big fan of diesels, and I'll probably be exploring provincial borders of Gauteng just to stretch its legs and see what kind of fuel economy I can get from it. So that's what I'll be doing.
Lots to drive, lots to look forward to within the coming weeks. I think that's all we've got time for. Paige is waving her hands, and that means it's time to wind things down. So again, I'd just like to thank you both for taking the time out to join me in studio. It's been good to chat. It's been good to catch up. And hopefully you'll be around next week to join me again.
Thank you, Thomas.
Catch us again next week for another episode of Cargumentative. Until then, stay safe and stay at home. Keep out of the grips of COVID-19.